Thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 10 and verse 26. We're dealing with this episode, looking at this episode of the young man who's come to Christ. And we've got to the place now where Christ is dealing with his disciples and drawing the major conclusions from what's been going on here. And you remember he said how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at all this. And then Jesus gave this illustration about the eye of a needle. And we get this reaction now of Mark chapter 10 and verse 26. And I call this, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. Let me read the verse to you. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, well, you know, if this is the case then, who then can be saved? Who can be saved? I mean, it's just beyond reckoning. What could we do? I mean, it's hopeless. Mark chapter 10 and verse 26. Let's be clear about it. They were astonished. No, they were astonished beyond measure. It was exceeding. It was over and above. It was exceedingly abundantly. They were gobsmacked in the colloquial slang of today. They were... The wind had been knocked out of them by a blow. They were struck with a sense of panic. They were shocked, astonished, amazed at all. It was so sudden. It was so startling. They were just staggered. Well then, who can be saved? You can see what they're saying. Have you never heard anybody say, well, I think that man, he's likely to be saved? Or do you hear the talk today about the not-yet-Christian, the unchurched? What am I getting at? Well, today, you see, it's all so easy, isn't it? But what Christ is saying to these people here is, it's not that they're not yet converted, it's impossible. It's not that they're not yet churched. It's impossible, says Christ. We're not talking about going to church, we're talking about regeneration. And it's impossible, that's the word. They looked at him, amazed, and said, who then can be saved? They were saying to each other. Have you got it here? Today we've got to the place where we don't ask this kind of question. We don't think like this. Of course people can be saved. You've just got to get the right songs and put on the right show and get the right speaker and, you know, have the right this and that and the other, and that they come flocking in, and so they do. And, well, it's like falling off a log, isn't it? The systems are polished. It's a press button conveyor belt today. Look at the Jehovah's Witnesses. You get them hooked on a bit of curiosity, and what happens? Before long, they're ending up zombies. A Roman Catholic. Give me a child to lose eight or something, a boy to eight. You can do what you with him, says the Jesuits. He's mine. And so it is. You know, they might lapse this, they might lapse that, but they're still Roman Catholics. And I think the modern evangelical is not very far from it. And yet the gospel leaves me as a preacher and as a writer and trying to be a communicator, leaves me with what? With this. With this. The disciples are even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? You know, I think we have to get, well, I'm sure, I don't think, we have to get back to this. It's not just difficult to see people saved. Impossible is the word. Oh, you'll say, but look at verse 27. It's not impossible. I'm talking humanly. I'm powerless, my friend. Oh, I can polish the communication. I can get myself more eloquent. I can use better illustrations. I can bring this visual aid. I can bring this and that. They can bring all this pipe music and video stuff and clever schemes with audio stuff. I don't know what they might do. But you can do all that until God regenerates the sinner. Until God regenerates the sinner, all you're doing is tinkering with the edges. How must this doctrine affect our evangelism? I think it ought to shake it. We're too clever by half. We got it sorted out. We know what we're doing. How should it affect our preaching? Well, you know, you just got to get the right words and get it together and all come flocking to Jesus. No, my friend. Oh, no. Love I much? I'm much forgiven, said one hymn writer. Why is that? I'm a miracle of grace. I'm a miracle of grace. Don't you realize, my friend? It is amazing. Oh, I know we can all croon amazing grace. No, Newton meant it. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. God is sovereign here. The believer can say, my times are in God's hands. That's true. But I tell you this, my friend, the unbeliever too. You're in God's hand. It's not at your disposal. Oh, I'll come tomorrow. There may not be a tomorrow. You don't know. No. You can't call anything your own. No time. No ability. No. This is the truth of it. With men, this is impossible. And therefore, the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? The wonder is that any can be converted. No wonder the Bible speaks so heavily of remnant. We're losing that. Apparently now we're going to become the moral majority. No, we never are. The believer will always be part of the obscure, rejected minority. And every true saint is a miracle of grace. Yes. Who then can be saved? Well, that prepares us for the answer, doesn't it? With men. This is impossible, but glorious, but.